This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It is another edition of Phillies Today. I'm your host, James Seltzer. It is Tuesday, September the 8th, as we come off a holiday weekend. I hope everyone had a safe, happy, healthy Labor Day weekend. As we get back into it, it is officially the stretch run here in baseball. Football's back. It's that time of year. Let's go, Phillies. All right, exciting stuff. We have four games to talk about since we last spoke. The Phillies, after sweeping the Nationals heading into the weekend, winning 9 of 10, win 10 of 11, taking Friday against the Mets, but then falter with a couple losses on Saturday and Sunday, including Sunday's pathetic showing, but then bounce back yesterday, ultimately splitting with the Mets in New York. We'll dive into each and every game of the series as the Phillies, again, end up coming out with a split after sweeping the Nats. After the 9 of 10, winning 10 of 11 in that first game. Then the couple losses get back in the win column before the doubleheader today. We'll get to that later as well. But ultimately, taking 2 of 3 in New York after that long stretch run, I think is good. You take it. You know, you take that. 2 of 4 in New York is solid, especially when that last game really felt like it was going to be one that you were going to blow in the last seconds. It really felt like that type of loss that was coming. Blew a 6-0 lead, we'll get into it, but ultimately the Phillies able to turn it back, turn the tides, and ultimately win in extra innings, improving to 20-17 on the season. A big win over the Mets as they are trying to kind of distance themselves from the rest of those teams in the NL East. We'll take a look at the standings later as well, but ultimately the Phillies, a good weekend of baseball as they're 20-17, firmly in a playoff spot at the moment, and continue to chug along heading into an important week of baseball, which we will preview later on. Two injuries, though, early in the weekend. Roman Quinn and Jay Bruth both to the IL. That is an issue, as now they are incredibly thin in the outfield. Bryce Harper actually had to play center field last night, I guess, or yesterday, I should say, as they do not feel comfortable with Adam Haseley facing left-handed pitchers. I think that is pretty clear. Without Quinn, without Bruce, there's some lack of depth there. Kyle Garlick we saw over the weekend. That can be an issue moving forward for a team that, you know, has relied and will rely so much on the offense to carry them that depth, that quality out there, the guys like Bruce that make a difference. It is a concern, but ultimately we will see. Let's dive into it game by game. Phillies come in Friday night riding a heater. This is Phillies team, and again, this is the game that Bruce and Quinn got hurt in, so no issues heading into this one. 9 of 10 heading into this one after sweeping the Nats, winning 4 straight. The Phillies would, yet again, for the second time in the season and the first two times since 2018, they would win 5 straight as they win on Friday night 5-3. A nice victory as they get some runs late that they need ultimately to pull it out. Jake Arrieta, after just such an abysmal, embarrassing, you could even say, showing in his last outing, was able to bounce back and really a prideful effort. It felt like Arrieta was great. 7 innings, 7 strikeouts for Jake, only allowed 2 earned runs, 7 hits, 1 walks, only 8 base runners in the 7 innings. Just really was great. I mean, Arrieta, again, looked awesome. And I know we've seen that a couple times this year. And, it's hard to trust him, obviously, but he looked great in this one, giving them a real chance. They get on the board early at Jay Bruce, RBI single. I will miss that for a little bit. In the second, makes it 1-0. Didi Gregorius in the third knocks in a run to make it 2-0. The Mets would tie it back up in the fifth on a Michael Conforto 2-run blast. But then in the seventh, Roman Quinn, not there now. Reach on infield, single scores a run. Gene Segura, an infield single scores a run that inning. And then Adam Haseley would get hit by a pitch, which would allow a runner to score with the bases loaded. Ultimately, a 5-2 lead, they would allow one more. Hector Neris gives up a home run, but ultimately Tommy Hunter comes in, Brandon Workman gets a save, and the Phillies get the job done. 5-3, a nice win for this team, especially when it wasn't like the bats went nuts, but got just enough done. 7 hits in total. No one had more than one hit. No home runs. They manufacture runs. This team continues to do the little things offensively, and it's why I feel like it's easier to believe in this group, this offense, than it was in years past. And look, we've seen it consistency-wise just over the last couple weeks, just when we were talking about the fact they won 5 games in a row twice, something they hadn't done since 2018, shows you that they've done a better job of hitting on a night-to-night basis and not having those massive lulls. And, you know, when some guys are struggling, other guys pick them up. I mean, as we've seen, Bryce Harper and JT Realmuto carried the team for the first 3 weeks of the season, and now they've been pretty cold. I mean, Realmuto less cold than Harper. Harper's been ice cold. But then the other guys stepped up. Rhys Hoskins, the best hitter in baseball, essentially, over the last, you know, whatever you want to call it, 2 weeks or whatever. I mean, everyone's stepping up. McCutchen's been great. Segura, massive night yesterday, massive day yesterday. We'll get to that. But they've been consistent. And, you know, I think you see it from top to bottom. We talked about the base running, the stealing of bases, old school baseball, manufacturing runs like we talked about. No homers in this 5-3 win. They get 5 runs, all manufactured, all with hits and base running and all that. And, look, I think you see it across the board, even something as simple as pay attention today in the doubleheader and watch every single hitter in this Phillies lineup chokes up with 2 strikes. Every single one. It's a philosophy. It's a team thing. It's instilled across the board. And all these guys are choking up. All these guys are taking these 2-strike approaches seriously and really just trying to put the ball in play. And it's been really a joy to watch. And it's been impressive. And I think it's part of the reason you feel at least a little more confident about this offense's ability to sustain this, you know, and to continue to be consistent. At least most nights, you know, they would go a little cold Saturday and Sunday. But I do think there is some positive to be taken out of that. Not much positive Saturday and Sunday as the Phillies, after the hot run, kind of faltered a little. 5-1 on Saturday, kind of never really able to get going. They get up 1-0 in the first. Rhys Hoskins, a blast to left field, just a monster shot, his 8th of the season, as Hoskins just continues to rake. But that was it. Segura had a couple hits, Realmuto had a couple hits, but not able to convert anything into runs. And the Mets get to Spencer Howard. They scored a couple in the second, one in the fourth, one in the fifth, one in the sixth. Howard ultimately goes 4 innings, 4 hits, 3 runs, 3 strikeouts, 1 walk. Just kind of still too many base runners, unable to consistently work into a game. You know, again, 4 innings Howard goes, and it's a shame. It's a bummer because you can see the talent. You know, you can see it flash. We know it's there. And you just want to see him be able to utilize it when he needs it and also go deeper into games and kind of be a little more efficient and a little smarter with his pitches and all that. And we didn't see it, you know, and the Mets were able to get to him, and the Mets handled him. Ultimately, again, only 4 innings, 3 earned. They would get to Ranger Suarez for a couple runs. David Hale would come and have a couple clean innings, but damage was done. The bats just couldn't get going, couldn't really convert. Seth Lugo pitched pretty well for the Mets, 5-1 run innings, and then the bullpen came in, and that's the thing. You know, when you look at these two teams, the Phillies are a better baseball team than the Mets right now, but the bullpen is definitely a massive difference. You know, that Mets bullpen is legit and shut down, and you feel confident if you're a Mets fan when they come into a game, and obviously we know we don't with the Phillies. But an easy win, 5-1 on Saturday. We get to Sunday, and this was the one you want to forget about. Just throw this one in the trash and move forward. And that's why it was so nice to see yesterday's game, because, you know, they were coming off this game, and it was great to see. But Sunday did not go well. A 14-1 drubbing. Aaron Nola wasn't his day. Wasn't as bad as the numbers show. 5 1/3, gives up 6 runs. Only 3 of them earned. Didn't get much help. Did have 10 strikeouts. Had swing and miss stuff, but, you know, was just unable to kind of get locked in. Heath Embry gave up a run. Mike Lavera, who I had never even heard of before, M. Lavera, Maurizio Lavera. I don't know why I said Mike there. Maurizio Lavera, I'd never heard of. Gave up 4. Blake Parker gives up 3. Finally snaps that 0 ERA for the Phillies. Not the 2.53 just with that outing. But ultimately, unable to get anything done. Offensively, pitching. Jacob DeGrom shuts you down. 7 one-run innings, 12 strikeouts. Just the ease with which that guy pumps it in at 101 is tough. It's tough to combat, and he is a hell of a pitcher. We saw it. I think the best in baseball. One of the, at least for this run right now that he's on, one of the best I've ever seen in my lifetime. This 3-year run, back-to-back Cy Youngs. Legitimately, it's one of the best runs I've ever seen a pitcher on. It's one of the best pitchers I've ever seen in this moment here, what he's doing. And we saw it firsthand. And he shut the Phillies down, no question. It was a shame, too, because, you're so excited going to that one. It's Nola, it's DeGrom, it's a big one. You feel good about it. It's a big matchup, an important one. You feel like, all right, our race against the best in the business. Let's go. And it just fell apart so quickly. And Nola didn't have it, but everyone else didn't have it. Nobody had it. And DeGrom certainly had it. And it was just a bummer. It was just one of those ones that you felt quickly that you didn't have it. And it just spiraled out of control. And a 14-1 loss is never fun. And it's one of those ones that hurts, and you remember it, and it's like, wow, we got our butts whooped, and that is no fun. Now, having said that, this Phillies team could have cratered after that, could have kind of let that loss get them. They don't. And not only that, they didn't let that loss get them. They come back yesterday and come out firing after that loss, and then don't let what would happen to them in this game get to them either, and still find a way to win. Let's look at this one. This was clearly that for, Phillies fans, the game of the series, a thrilling 9-8 victory in 10 innings for the Phillies yesterday. A massive win. It really was for this Phillies team to come back the way they did. They get up 6-0 on the Mets, and then it starts to chip away. Ultimately, the Mets take the lead in the 7th. We'll go through it as it happened, but then the Phillies fought back and ultimately went at 9-8 in extras. Just a really fun showing in the Phillies. It really was. And it's the kind of game where earlier in the season, I think the Phillies lose that game. It felt like games they've lost. It felt like when Jeff McNeil hit that home run in the 7th inning to make it 7-6, it was like, oh, yep. We saw this game in Toronto. We saw this game in Baltimore. We saw this game in Atlanta. I know this game. I've been here for this game. I've seen this game. We know this one. That's what's going to happen. Fun while it lasted. But no, the Phillies didn't let that happen, and they battled, and they won a game they needed to win. It was an important win. The difference between 20-17, 19-18 is stark. Right at this point in the season, especially against a team you're competing with in your division, it was a big, big, big win, and they deserve credit for it, and it was awesome to see. Let's go through it as it played out. Start out in the first as the Phillies get some base runners and Mean Gene Segura, who continues to really flash the Gene Segura that the Phillies traded for, that 300-hitter, driving the ball to gaps, hitting the ball hard, worrying about contact, not launching it, just a good hitter. And he showed it today, the star of the game for sure. 4-for-5 in the game, 5 RBI. Obviously, we'll get to the big hit and extras he had, but a monster game for Segura. And it started in the first as he rips a double to left field to clear the bases. 3-run double, 3-0 Phillies. You're feeling good. Segura really, again, just he's been playing some great baseball lately. Phillies add to that in the second. Reese Hoskins, again, 9th of the season. What a monster Reese Hoskins is. As Reese Hoskins, a 2-run blast, making it 5-0. Reese Hoskins, a 405 OBP on the season, a 540 slugging percentage on the season. In case you're wondering, of all the Phillies' everyday starters, yes, Reese Hoskins. Reese Hoskins has the highest slugging percentage. That's awesome to see. Another one, his 9th of the season, making it 5-0 in the second. The Phillies would add another one in the 5th. Romuto, a opposite field blast, makes it 6-0. You're feeling good. And then Zach Wheeler's cruising at this point and not a lot of pitches and ultimately didn't get to that many pitches. Kind of a controversial move. So Wheeler ends up going 6 innings, gives up those 3 runs. It was a 6-0 getting into the 5th. and then gives up three in the fifth as the Mets kind of string together some doubles, some bloop hits. Not really a ton of hard contact off Wheeler. It felt like he was hard to really hit the ball hard off of, but makes it 6-3, and you're starting to get a little worried. But prior to that, Wheeler had been mowing him down. You know, eight hits, six innings, no walks, seven Ks, the three runs, seven Ks, and I see we haven't seen that as much this year. But ultimately, with only 83 pitches, Girardi decides to pull him. And it didn't work out, to say the least, as JoJo Romero and David Phelps would combine to give up four runs. Ultimately, they would three of them scored on the Jeff McNeil three-run blast in the seventh inning that gave the Mets a 7-6 lead. But it was a curious decision. And look, they ultimately ended up winning the game. It's fine. And Girardi's been so on point with his moves pretty much, you know, across the board, especially lineup decisions offensively. But, you know, you're not gonna kill him. But this was the wrong move, I think. I think giving Wheeler one more inning made a lot of sense. Only at 83 pitches, he could easily handle another. And, you know, not having to go to that bullpen as early. Ultimately, after that, though, the bullpen is able to shut it down through the next three innings. Tommy Hunter, clean inning. Brandon Workman, one of his best innings, only one walk, clean inning. And then Hector Neris, a little scary, gives up a run with a 9-7 lead in the 10th, but able to get the job done closing out the Phillies. That was the impressive thing, is Jeff McNeil hits that home run in the 7th to give him 7-6 lead. The Phillies have officially blown a 6-0 lead. We're feeling like crap. And this Phillies team battles. They come back in the 8th. Alec Bohm, RBI single, scores. Gene Segura, Andrew Knapp got thrown out at third on a bad base running decision. Ends up in a rundown and end up not getting any more runs that inning. But it did tie the game, 7-7. The bullpen holds. We get to the top of the 10th inning. Gene Segura steps to the plate with the phantom runner, as we call it. It actually wasn't the phantom runner because he was out. It was actually JT Romita. Phantom runner was Rhys Hoskins, who got thrown out at home on a grounder by Romita. But he got in a rundown, actually. And Romita was able to take second there. And then Gene Segura steps to the plate and just blasts one to center field, right center. And boom. Boom. 9-7 lead. Again, Neris would give up the one run in the bottom of the 10th, but able to get out of it. The Phillies win it. 9-8 in the 10th. And this was... Again, this is the kind of game that good teams win. This is the kind of game that good teams win. It's a game that the Phillies of the last few years have not won consistently. This has not been their game, their type of game. And last night, or yesterday, I should say, they found a way to do it, and they fought back, and it really felt like things were falling apart, and they battled. And it was an impressive win, an important win, as now they sit at 20-17, a much different spot than 19-18 would have been in the National League. As you look at where the Phillies stand going through the standings right now, the Phillies at 20-17 are only two games back of the Atlanta Braves. The Braves are 24-17. They played four more games than the Phillies. But as you can see, 24-17 to 20-17, that means the Phillies are zero games back in the loss column. So they are tied in the loss column. So that is interesting in the sense that, you know, the Phillies are battling for that, and at least in theory, you know, not out of it, trying to win the NL East. Of course, you know, you want to win the you just want to make the playoffs ultimately if you're the Phillies. That's your number one priority, obviously. But, you know, if you can kind of steal the NL East, that would be something. You know, you're kind of right there with it. Like, they're not that far out. And again, tied in the loss column. So only two back from the Braves in the NL East. They're also game and a half up on the Marlins, which is great to see. The Marlins at 18-18. So the Phillies widening the gap there from the rest of the NL East. And then after the win over the Mets, 3.5 up on the Mets. So it would have been a difference between 3.5 to 1.5. I mean, that's massive, you know? 3.5 up on the Mets, and then a robust 6.5 up on Washington. As the Phillies, 37 games into the season, so they're only 23 left, and they're 6.5 on Washington. That tells you all you need to know, really. The Phillies in the National League, when you look at compared to the rest of the National League, firmly in a playoff spot right now. They are firmly in the 5 spot. As the Braves, well, of course, the Dodgers are the 1 seed, then the Braves, the 2 seed, the Cubs, the 3 seed with the 3 division winners, then the Padres, the four seed with a better record than the Phillies. Then the Phillies have the next best record in the National League at 20-17, the fifth best record in the National League, followed by the Cardinals, who are 17-16. So they are game back, a game and a half back of the Phillies there, though they're only one game back, or one game, they're one game up in the loss column. They've played less games, obviously, the Cardinals, after that long stretch that they missed. The Marlins, game and a half back at the Phillies in the playoff picture. They are right there with them, of course. And then the Rockies at 20-20 and the Giants at 20-21 are right there with the Phillies as well, not far off. The Rockies, game and a half back, but of course tied in the loss column. So, you know, it's a lot of ways this could go. You know, we are far from the end of the season, but still with 23 games left for the Phillies and other teams less. You know, we're there. This is real close. The season is unfurling before our eyes. We are in the stretch run. Last 3 weeks of the season. This is it. This is real. The Phillies are right there. They're a playoff team right now. And they've played like a playoff team the last couple weeks. It's okay to get excited about them, and it's going to be exciting to see how they finish the season out, how it shakes out right now. If this holds the way it is, the Phillies will be playing the Padres in the first round of the playoffs, the 4-5. And you know what? That would be a solid matchup. A young Padres team that's super talented but has never been there before in a three-game series, sure. And you know what? Nolan Wheeler versus Paddock, Clevinger, whatever. I mean, you got a shot. It's not like they're way better in the starting rotation. They're probably better, but not much better. And their top two aren't necessarily better. So, Phillies are sitting in a good spot. And again, there is enough season left and enough teams in it. You know, when you look at the Brewers at 18-21, even the Reds at 18-23, the Mets at 19-23, you know, these teams are all quote unquote in it. They're not quite enough out of it with the amount of games left, the Phillies and the lead the Phillies have, but the Phillies are in a really good spot. You know, they mathematically are in the 80s percent wise, I would guess. I've not looked. But they're pretty high up there. They have a very good percentage chance to make the playoffs. They just got to continue to play the way they're playing. And then they can go in as a team that no one wants to play, especially if they can keep hitting the way they're hitting. With Nolan Wheeler at the top, they're not going to be a fun team to play. Again, ultimately, as we've talked about a million times, I think this bullpen comes back to bite them in one form or another. But they're going in with a chance, and that's exciting. And I think that it's the best Phillies team we've talked about in a while. And that's exciting. They're playing like it, and they have a real chance to make a little noise and do a little damage. And that's it's more than we've had in a while, you know? It's more than we've had in a while, and that's pretty exciting. And they're a fun team to root for. They're a fun team to watch because they rake. They play good baseball. So let's hope they can keep it up, as they've got a insane stretch of baseball coming up here. As it's doubleheader city. It's the Marlins up your butt, as they say, is the Marlins again. Right there, game and a half back in the division, fighting with them. We're going to find out the next week and a half is going to make a big difference. So today, doubleheader at home against Boston. 4:05 and 7:05, sorry, 4:05 and then 30 or 40 minutes after the first game start. And then 7 straight against the Marlins. 7 straight. They got 1 on Thursday, 2 on Friday, 1 on Saturday, 2 on Sunday, 1 on Monday. So an off day on Wednesday, and then game on Thursday, 2 Friday, 1 Saturday, 2 Sunday. That's 5 games in 3 days. It's 6 games in 4 days. And when you add in Tuesday, the 2 games, it's 7-8 games in 7 days. I mean, it's just, it's a grind. And then they got the Mets at home after that, and then the Blue Jays, and it just keeps rolling here. This is an important stretch. First of all, the two against the Red Sox today, the doubleheader, is massively important because the Red Sox stink. And I know you got Velasquez on the hill in one of them. It's going to be Eflin in game one, Velasquez in game two. I know you got Velasquez, but they need to win these. The Boston is a bad baseball team, and the Phillies have to take advantage of that. They have to because they've got too many teams left in the schedule that are not bad enough that you can count on as win. So these are big two, and then it's a massive 7-game stretch against the Marlins. 7 games in a short period of time with the 2 doubleheaders. It is massive where the Marlins sit with the Phillies. It is the season can come down to it. So massive week of baseball, exciting stuff. Hopefully the Phillies can continue to play like they've played and kind of firmly cement themselves as a playoff team and maybe even challenge the Braves. That would be exciting. Only 2 games back. So either way, we'll see what they do in the doubleheader today. We'll be back to talk about it tomorrow. So until then, stay safe, stay healthy, And thank you for listening to another edition of Phillies Today right here on the Phillies 24/7 Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.